Welcome back, everybody, to the Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere podcast with Joel Gardner and Derek Sweet. Before we get started, we'd like to thank, as always, our sponsor, Rip10. Go check out rip10.com, follow them on Twitter, at Rip10, subscribe to their RSS feed, because it's cool, bitches. Now, let's get started with some Easy Star All-Stars to get us going here. This is Dub Side of the Moon, covers of Pink Floyd, done in reggae style, so check it out. Doing it. Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast, Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere. We've been gone for a while, Derek.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. We've been busy filming.
2 weeks.
What's that from?
Total Recall.
Oh, really?
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any fruits or vegetables on board?
That's right.
2 weeks.
And then the mask falls apart. That was one of the coolest effects.
Yeah, they've actually referenced it in Misplosion Man already. I loved it.
Really? Yeah. Okay, well, getting to Misplosion Man in a second here. What did I want to say real quickly? Now you got me off guard.
Sorry.
Can't fucking remember. God damn it. Anyway, well, yeah, okay.
Let's, 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, we've been gone for 2 weeks because we haven't really been gone anywhere. We've just been filming our latest video podcast,
right,
which we're going to release soon, and capturing footage. It's not going to be like the ones we've done in the past. It's more of like a sketch. So
yeah. And we're
a little more involvement.
I think we're going more that way from now on. Like,
yeah, it'd be pretty cool, unless we come up with some other cool bets that I can kick your ass at.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. All right, let's get back into video games. Misplosion Man, the Summer of Arcade has started, and I can't believe Misplosion Man wasn't part of it, but...
Yeah, that's weird.
It came out the week before Arcade started, so...
They use the Summer of Arcade, I think, to generally promote new titles, other than Toy Soldiers, I guess. I was going to say new IPs, but not really, because Toy Soldiers is in the Summer of Arcade. Yeah, why wasn't Misplosion Man in there? That's like...
Yeah, I don't know
maybe it's just
why,
they
man.
Felt that it totally stood on its own and didn't need the extra promotion.
Yeah, possibly. Anyway, what did you think? Because I actually didn't end up getting Misplosion Man. I tried the demo out, and it was kind of just, yeah, it was fun, but I don't know. I could see myself getting bored of it, so I didn't pick it up.
Well, it's interesting because I didn't think it was much of an improvement. I thought it was pretty much the same game until they released the Splosion Man prequel for it. They released a free DLC for Splosion Man, the original one, that is, connects the stories and shows you how Splosion Man got caught.
Oh, wait. When did this come out?
Like 3 days ago.
Well, that's weird. They released it after.
Right. So it's a prequel to Misplosion Man, but it's for Splosion Man. Like, it's
okay,
for,
yeah,
the Splosion Man game. And I went back and played it,
it's
and wow.
Smart.
Dude, Misplosion Man is a huge improvement. Like, Splosion Man dropped down to like 10 frames per second sometimes, and like Misplosion is consistent 30 frames per second. Great gameplay, never slows down. And I was shocked when I went back and played Splosion Man. I was like, "Wow, this actually is kind of crappy. Like, it's nowhere near as good." So,
really?
Yeah, Misplosion Man, the engine is a huge improvement, but the game, it does suffer from what your complaint was when we were talking about it, which is that you're just always running, blowing up scientists, blowing
up
tables.
Well, let's explain what the game is for those that don't know. It's
right.
An Xbox Live Arcade title, and it's a platformer, but the only thing you do is explode, and you can explode 3 times.
Explode, actually, is the technical
term. Yeah, explode.
Sounds dirty, almost.
And, so, yeah, and then you can manipulate different things and yourself in order to get to the end of the level.
Right.
And it's pretty crazy the things they come up with.
It's an excellent fast-paced platformer. That's basically the gist of it, right?
Like, yeah.
Very fast-paced, awesome platforming, 2D side-scrolling platforming action.
Well, have you been playing it?
Yeah. I was just playing it a couple hours ago. I'm about halfway through now. It's fairly long, but is like when you played it, you're like, yeah, I just feel like it's more of the same. It's more of running around, exploding, and it's just new puzzles for pretty much the same game as the first one. And it's true. The engine's improved. But on this one, apparently they were trying to address the fact that it always felt like you, because in the first one, you were just, it was different color backgrounds. That was basically the only difference between levels. And in this one, they've added three worlds, where on the second world, it's all like tiki masks and tiki torches and island themed.
I definitely love that, how they switched that up.
But it still seems exactly the same. Like,
really?
No, it did not achieve the effect of making it feel different. It still just feels like
even the map
through.
In between, where you go to levels now, and it's not just a constant next to the next level type of thing.
That's true. Yeah.
First one.
Yeah. No, there's a map. There's a world map now, so that's a little better.
Yeah. If you haven't got Splosion Man, just pick up Miss Splosion Man and you'll have a blast, I think.
Yeah, and aside from that, though, I am loving it. And I love it because I love Splosion Man. And I love how they have...
Did you ever get the extra level from playing Comic Jumper? Or you didn't get Comic Jumper, did you?
No, I never got Comic Jumper. Hmm. So I did notice that there was... That the add-on they just released was level 5-1, and I only had Worlds 1, 2, and 3. I never got World 4, so maybe that's what opened up with Comic Jumper was World 4. It's a really good game. It's much harder than Splosion Man, and it's way more hectic action, and I'm loving it, but...
Yeah,
if you weren't a fan of the first.
So anyway, into the Summer of Arcade, and the first release that came out was Bastion.
Which you picked up and I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And you seriously, man, you have to get this game.
Yeah.
It's so excellent, man. I love a lot of things about it. I think the first thing right off the bat that everyone's going to notice is the narration. I've never really experienced anything like it. It's not necessarily comical, but there are comical moments, but he kind of narrates almost everything that you do.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I thought it was awesome. You tried the demo, at least.
I tried the demo, and I thought it was really unique. The only reason I haven't picked it up yet is because I've got three other things to play right now, and I just...
Yeah, yeah,
and
it's hard to get
Dust
another game
From Dust comes out tomorrow,
there.
So it's like... It's really hard to like be like, yeah, I'm going to pick up Bastion when I have all this other stuff to play. I still haven't even played the three downloadable characters for Mortal Kombat. I still haven't even seen their moves or anything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so...
Yeah, nice.
I've just been playing less video games and...
Well, another thing about Bastion that I love is the no reading text.
Yeah.
Everything is presented to you in video form, like these short little 10-second clips that, you know, don't really necessarily explain everything, but they'll give you a little backstory on what's going on, you know.
Nice.
The whole point of the game is that you're collecting these cores to bring back the Bastion,
right,
you know, and rebuild the Bastion. I won't tell you what happens, but it goes into more of that after you actually rebuild it, and there's more to it, and it continues on. I think it's going to be about 6 to 8 hours. Which, nice. I think is perfect length.
Yeah, that's a good length. And let's explain the narration a little bit more. Like, it's literally like you walk over and you break a barrel, and the narrator goes, "He smashed a barrel unnecessarily." You know?
Yeah,
like, it's literally
exactly.
Like everything.
You call
you
the
do.
Kid, and he's like, "The kid's going reckless."
Yeah, the narrator is doing such a like great voice acting.
Yeah, I wish. Oh, we should look up who it is, man, because
right.
Yeah, he definitely deserves some props. And just the destructible nature of it. So the whole point of it is it's this overhead kind of action RPG. And as you walk, the floor kind of builds up under you. But at the same time, almost everything is destructible. And you can fall off the ledge at any moment, you know.
I found that really difficult because I was really suffering from back pain when I checked out the demo. And I was lying on my side on the couch. And it's really and I fell off all the time because it's hard to play perspective games when you're looking at the screen from the side.
Definitely not the optimal way of playing. That's for sure. The one thing I love, dude, is this music that is so a la Red Dead Redemption, man. You know, like halfway through Red Dead Redemption, that awesome song kicks in when you're just crossing the border into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Bastion's got stuff like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Amazing music, man. I love everything about the atmosphere in this game. It's
Wicked.
Just it's just gorgeous. And the artwork and everything, I think, is really cool, man.
Yeah, every review that I read three different reviews, and all three reviews said you can't get the game from just playing the demo. You got to play
an
hour and a half in, and then you really start to see,
exactly.
Holy shit, this is a great game.
Exactly, because you realize the weapons aren't just... You know, Torchlight was a great game, and Deathspank was kind of a great game, which is kind of in the same genre as this. Mm-hmm. But I kind of felt while I was playing those games that I was just kind of spamming one weapon. You know, I got the awesome weapon, and I just spam that kind of. But in this game, each individual weapon feels different and feels
and is better for a different type of enemy, because that's the most important.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Yeah. It is, man. Yeah, and different levels and stuff. Wicked. And you can like stop and go to your arsenal and switch it up and upgrade your weapons. And yeah, the weapons I thought felt amazing. I thought they did a really good job on that.
The narrator is played by a first-time video game actor named Logan Cunningham.
Oh, really?
Logan Cunningham. It even sounds like a sophisticated narrator's name.
Yeah, he narrates everything. I believe there's no other voice actors in the game. I think he is the only one.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is awesome. But yeah, so that's Bastion, and that's the first up in the
1200 points. We need to mention too. That's a pricey tag.
I don't know, man. I think it's definitely worth it, man.
I know. It's funny how we piss him off over $5. Like, it's $5.
Yeah, $5 more.
I spent $6 on a drink. And
well, how much was Explosion Man? Was it $800?
$800, yep.
Really? That's a great fucking deal.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, I don't know.
Here's my problem with Bastion is that I really want to play Warhammer Kill Team. I loved the trial, and it's the same type of game as Bastion, barely, right? But they're both
kind of similar,
like the Torchlight style, which, by the way, Torchlight 2 comes out next week for PC. I don't know if you knew that.
For PC?
Yeah.
When does it come out for Xbox?
Don't know.
Damn.
I was looking at the release list today, and I saw, oh, Torchlight 2.
That's pretty exciting, man.
Yep.
That's pretty damn exciting. Did you hear that GoldenEye reboot, the reboot that came out for Wii, is now coming out for Xbox
and
PSN? I'm
so glad I didn't play it.
With an update to the engine and for HD graphics.
I've been disparaging not having played my Wii copy of the game.
My Wii one.
It's my little one, the Wii one over there. But I never played it for Wii. I only played the first level and a half.
Yeah.
And now I'm like so glad I didn't play it, because I'm like, yes,
no kidding.
Like HD,
no kidding,
non-Wii controls,
everything, everything, like, so much better. Yeah, I can't wait to pick that up. I think it's going to be great. Anyway, what else video game-wise can we talk about? I know there hasn't been much coming out, but
there's the Fallout expansions.
Fallout expansions, which you play.
Yeah.
For those that listen to the podcast know that I'm not a huge Fallout fan. I can understand the appeal to it, but I'm just not a post-apocalyptic kind of guy.
It makes Joel depressed to realize the inevitable future
sad.
that we all face.
Gonna be all living in the Salton Sea.
But yeah, no, I can't remember. What was the name of the one that just came out? Damn it.
The one for New Vegas we're talking about here?
Yeah, that just came out.
Wasn't it called
Old World Blues?
Old World Blues.
World Blues. And like, yeah, you basically you find the satellite and you touch the satellite, and next thing you know, you've had your brain and your spine and your heart removed and replaced with cybernetic equivalents. And it's this these group of robots that are experimenting on humans and taking their brains and doing things with their brains, but you're the one lobotomized brain that retained some intelligence and retained a connection to your brain.
Yeah.
And then the whole expansion is you have to go get your brain back. And
nice.
I was like, wow, that's wicked. And so I love robots, I love AI. So all of the characters you're interacting with are these artificial intelligences that used to be humans, and now they're just brains in a floating glass, and they're like, oh yeah, this is what happened. That guy took your brain, you better go get it, and stuff like that. And so I'm just having an amazing time on it. It's really fun. Like,
that's awesome.
It's my favorite DLC for it already. And then I find out that this Lonesome Hearts or something is coming out. Yeah, Lonesome Road comes out this month too.
I heard that is the final DLC.
Good. I mean,
from what I heard,
I need to check that out. I have put 3 hours into the other one already. What's it called again? Old World Blues. I put 3 hours into that, and I'm nowhere. I haven't even started on the main plot. I've just been trying to restore the AI personalities of all the... like, either the sink has an AI, the tub has an AI, the med station and the bed, and all the different
things.
So
what do you think it's going to be? Like, 15, 20 hours?
It depends, right? Like... all of these DLCs, you can spend far more time than you need to in them, right?
I guess so. Well, I guess when Fallout can be up to like 70-hour game if you did everything.
I'm at 60 hours right now.
Really?
But that's across two DLCs, right?
So, yeah.
Anyways, I just think it's interesting that they're releasing two DLCs so close to each other, because there's no way I'm getting to that last one for a while. I'm going to have to remember, oh yeah, that's there.
That's for the hardcores that have already whipped through that shit and are waiting for more, and you know it'll be there when you're done,
dude. I think it's for the pussies that don't play on hardcore. They don't deserve the time, because I play on hardcore where I have to eat food and drink and sleep and manage all that. That's hardcore mode.
What do you think a majority of people are?
I don't know. All I know is I played that way before they had hardcore
mode. I know a lot of my buddies play like usually on the hardest levels.
Cool. I mean, yeah, I always wanted that. In every Bethesda game, I've always been like, man, why don't I have to manage my food and my sleep and my water? It would be so easy. And I was so glad when New Vegas finally put that mechanic in.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What do you think about that Catherine that came out this week?
I thought the puzzle level was interesting as soon as...
I haven't tried the demo. There's a demo out, right?
Yeah, there's a demo. And so the puzzle level was interesting. I was like, oh yeah, the graphics are cool. And like the way it was told was good. And I was like, this would be an interesting play. But then as soon as it got to the story sequences, I was like, ugh.
Because you hate Japanimation.
I don't hate it. There are certain movies like Ghost in the Shell is fantastic. Akira is good to watch.
Yeah.
There's a few excellent ones. But yeah, no, most of them I feel are just emotionally immature. Like generally... It feels like you're watching an after-school special, the way that the characters interact.
And it's that bad in Catherine as well?
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like, hey, why are you going over there to see her? She's that girl that did this. You know, when they lay everything out, so it's like, come just on.
Bad storytelling.
Yeah, just subtle. Be subtle in your dialogue. Don't pretend like I didn't just watch that scene 2 minutes ago. I saw it, you know.
I know what happened.
If it's an RPG and you're scrolling through text, it's okay. I can accept it in the old school RPG context. But that's it. When it's a cartoon, I'm like, oh my god, come on. And now I just lost like 10 podcasts.
It's getting like 9 out of 10 reviews on a lot of sites and shit, man.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's an excellent game. I mean, it seemed interesting. It's the first game that's ever dealt with the topic of infidelity.
I got World of Goo for iPhone.
Yeah, you're loving that, eh?
That shit's good, man. There's a reason why it's got such a high score on Metacritic.
I understand. I'm sure it's good. But let's just like look at this. When you go to Metacritic...
You should get it on iPad. I bet you it's awesome on iPad.
We have in the top two scores, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time 3D, and First Touch Soccer for iOS. It's like, I don't understand. I understand that these iOS games are good, but they are dominating the top list of Metacritics. And I think the iOS reviewers are being far too generous.
Yeah, I wonder if they're giving it leeway because it's an iOS game. Are they kind of like, well, for an iOS game, it's fucking awesome.
Right. They're reviewing it against other iOS games, but then they're getting listed alongside like Mario 97.
Feels yeah, like what would you rather play, L.A. Noire or World of Goo?
Probably World of Goo. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm not huge into L.A. Noire. I liked it, but I didn't think it was 100% success by any means.
Yeah. I don't know, holy fuck. World of Goo is...
World of Goocraft?
Yeah, World of Goocraft. Fuck. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Check it out. So the point of it is you get your little pieces of goo which kind of just like little balls of oil. You try to get it to this pipe by connecting them together, and it's very interesting, man.
You got to get oil into a pipe?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, fucking right.
So they're like hot knives at the end of
it? Goo balls of oil, man.
Okay.
Yeah. What else video game wise? Anything?
I think that's a lot of video games we just talked about. A lot of downloadable shit. Not a lot of releases.
Well, so it's been a couple of weeks since Google Plus has been out.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, man?
Google Plus is a lot like Facebook. I love Circles. I think it's great. I think it looks pretty good. I did see an interesting presentation on it, which is that it's not competition for Facebook. it's competition for Microsoft and Apple. Like, they're trying to, if you notice that there's, like, when you're on Google Plus, there's calendar, documents, maps, and all the Google thing right up there.
Yeah, exactly.
This is an attempt to bring social media, people bring them in to be part of, like, to compete with Office.
Yeah.
And OS X.
Is it kind of scary to you, man? The fact that Google is now, it wants to incorporate everything you do. Calendars, email, social media. And not only that, now they have this whole face recognition shit where when you put a photo on Google Plus, I don't know how it works exactly, but there's this mechanic where they can recognize your face and then tag you in what they believe is you in other photos.
Yeah.
And then ask you, like, hey, is this you? And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, that's not me raping that little child. Fuck.
Whoa. Raping children was a little bit further example. I thought you were going to be like doing that keg stand, but no, you went with raping children instead.
Dude, keg stand, that's classic. Like, I'm going to post that on myself. Shit.
All right.
Oh man.
So
I don't know.
This is their plan, I think. I think this rumor that they're gonna be selling $100 computers at a Walmart that do nothing but connect to Google is realistic. And they're gonna have it so you can
Google
buy
Google TV, everything.
They're gonna make it so you can buy a web browser, a computer that does nothing but a web browser, and you can do document editing, all of your calendar, contacts, email, social networking. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it's really not competition for Facebook.
No, I don't think so either. But, even though it is a lot like it, and that's kind of one reason I haven't really found myself using it. Well, I don't use it at all. I think I've posted on my profile pic, and that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I only check it maybe once every 4 or 5 days type of thing.
Yeah, Jared's loving it. Anybody that wants to add Jared, he posts a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm at a point where, you know, all my friends are already on Facebook. Do I just want to add the same people to Facebook or to Google Plus? Or, like, right now, do I post on Facebook and Google Plus? Because the people I have on Google Plus are the same kind of people that I have on Facebook. So,
yeah.
No, I know. I'm just posting it to them twice.
I still just post to Facebook. I don't post on Google Plus much yet.
Yeah. I don't really see a point until, you know.
It's going to be hard to take over Facebook. People are very used to Facebook and it works well.
Yeah.
It does what it's supposed to do well. And the one of the coolest things about Google Plus is this voice chat feature that they have, but apparently Facebook just bought Skype, so that's coming.
Yeah, I heard that's going to be pretty much the same thing. They're going to incorporate right into Facebook. So
if the only thing Google Plus has over Facebook is Circles, that's not going to take long for Facebook to copy. So
yeah, figure
it'll be interesting to see what happens. Google is a force to be reckoned with. There's no question about that.
Yeah, once they have all your information and face recognition and know where you are and.
And
seems
everybody's
scary.
Anytime
like Google's this like this company that, you know, seems awesome and friendly and has this wicked atmosphere to work in, and at the end of the movie, dude, fucking laughing,
yeah,
killing off babies for fucking
raping babies,
raping babies.
So, what's the next baby raping topic on the? How else can we equate child rape to another topic?
Well, Norway. We want to talk about what happened in Norway. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I don't necessarily understand the background. I know this guy had something to do with politics. He wanted to kind of change politics, and his voice wasn't being heard. So
he
went on this rampage and bombed some political office, killing 7 people,
mm-hmm.
and then went to some school or some camp or something.
It was a camp on an island.
Camp on an island and gunned down 86 people.
It actually was 68 was the final
number. Oh, 68 is the final number?
Somebody got counted twice in the confusion, apparently, so it was 68.
Still 60 fucking 8, man.
Dude, it's horrific. I don't even know what to say, but it's so sad. It's like, I'm, and like the guy, you know, a lot of people are posting he's a fundamentalist Christian and stuff like that. Man, I'm one of the biggest, the most vocal, like, opponents of Christianity there is, and I won't even go there on this one. That was no fucking Christian, man. No Christian would ever do that. That's.
Hey, well, what do you think about his wanting the right to speak and now explain what he did in court now? And a lot of people are saying, fuck that, man. Like, well, no one cares. Like,
he should have zero.
You've lost your rights, pretty much. You know, once you pull that trigger, no longer have a right as a human being.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's up to him. He'll be able to do interviews if a press place will do it. And it's that press company has to deal with the fallback of readers saying, I can't believe you gave that monster a voice, right?
Yeah.
So it really comes down to, will somebody do it or not? And I've seen lately, I don't think there's a journalist in the world that would do that. One with integrity, anyways. So
you think there's a lot of integrity in journalism?
It's interesting you say that, because I saw something that gave me faith in it tonight again for the first time in forever.
Really?
I watched Barack Obama's address on television tonight. It's Monday now, so when we're recording this, and Barack Obama addressed the nation tonight, and I watched it on Fox News coincidentally because I was watching Hell's Kitchen, and all of a sudden, Barack Obama came on, and I was like, oh wow. Like, I want to watch this, right? Because I'm really interested in the debt crisis and what's going on, because Barack Obama is basically saying we have to stop these tax loops for super rich people. There's people that make over 250 grand a year and they're not paying taxes because of tax holes in the tax code and stuff. And he's saying, okay, it's time that you contribute as much as everybody. We're not just going to cut social programs and not get you to pay your fucking taxes that you should have been paying all along, you know? And Republicans come back by saying, I got elected under the policy of no new taxes. I promised my constituents that there would never be new taxes. So no, I won't allow any new taxes. And they're going to let the whole country default for it. So I watched President Obama give a very good speech about the issue. And then I watched the House leader, John Boehner, give a return in his position. No, this is what we're saying. And we came up with this bipartisan approach that both parties agreed on, and President Obama just told us he'll veto it. And then it cuts back to the Fox News commentator, who you think would be a piece of shit and just support the Republican side, but he actually said, yeah, this is what Barack Obama said that was not factual, and he lied about this, and this is what John Boehner said that wasn't factual, and he said it's bipartisan if you think five Democrats is bipartisan. Five Democrats agreed with what they said, and he said that was a bipartisan bill because five Democrats were on his side, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Fox News commentator was the one that pointed that out.
Yeah, wow,
so
really?
I was like, wow, I saw a well-positioned Democrat perspective on the news, and then I saw a well-positioned Republican position of this is our perspective. And then I saw a news commentator actually critically analyze both of them and criticize both of them. And I was like, oh my God, maybe Fox News isn't as bad as I thought. I haven't watched a lot of Fox News. All I see is the commentators, the crazy talking heads. I don't actually see the news on Fox, right? So,
yeah, well, I don't know. I don't tend to watch news on TV, period. You know, I get my news from other sources.
That's true. I don't ever watch it on TV either. Anyways, I was just shocked. I was like, holy shit, that was actually like journalism with integrity right there. That actually was real journalism that the guy just did. He was like, yeah, this is how this dude's lying to you, and this is how this guy's lying to you. So they're all full of shit, just so you know. And I was like, whoa. I haven't seen a reasoned perspective like that.
It's definitely refreshing to hear somebody like that. But
anyways, the one of the crazier things about this Norway guy too is that he gets 21 years in prison.
That's a max sentence over there.
Anybody in Norway can get for anything.
So I can't believe they're, yeah.
So you can kill literally 68 children.
Like, they're not going to execute this fucker.
They say unless they think you're at a risk to reoffend, which seriously, that guy will never get out.
Man, we really got to close this window when we start this. There's been a lot of noise throughout this whole podcast, I think.
There hasn't been like beeping trucks like this.
No beeping trucks, people. We apologize for that.
But anyways, I just think, as if that guy's ever going to get out. He's obviously at a risk to reoffend, but I don't know. In 21 years,
what do you mean? If the law is 21 years max, well, you think somebody's just going to kill him?
21 years
in prison.
Yeah, well, somebody will kill him in prison, but 21 years max, unless they think he's at a risk to reoffend. So there's a tribunal will be held and say, do you think this guy will reoffend?
Oh, okay.
And then they can extend it another 21 years. They can give him another sentence, but it's like, you never know. In 21 years, he could be like, yeah, no, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And
it doesn't matter.
In Norway, it might.
Yeah, you never know.
I don't know. I couldn't believe that 21 year law when I heard it. I'm like, you can literally kill 68.
You know the repercussions if they let that guy out. Even 21 years from now, you don't think the people are still going to be feeling that?
Yeah,
man, it's already been 10 years since 9/11. Another 10 years and people are still going to be feeling that shit.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you still can't make a 9/11 joke in New York, I'm told. Like, oh, comedians say that. It's like, you can't. Yeah, you
get lynched, I bet.
Yeah, no, the audience will boo you off stage.
Yeah.
It's crazy, eh?
I was going to say that about wraps it up, but you got anything else you want to talk about? I saw during our... A lot of good TV shows started since we've been off, man.
Yeah.
Louis season 2 started.
Well, they're on episode 5 now, so we've had at least one podcast since it started.
I don't know. Might have. Anyway, yeah. That's going, man. Curb Your Enthusiasm started.
Oh, the first episode of Curb was bad, but the second one was good. I haven't watched the third yet.
I haven't watched the third one. Just came out. Breaking Bad, which I can't believe you guys don't watch, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's no time.
You have to make time for this show. It is seriously the best dramatic series on television right now. Like, without a doubt.
And it stars Daryl Mack.
Daryl Mack.
I'm just joking. He looks exactly like that guy. There's a comedian in Calgary named Daryl Mack. Looks exactly like the guy from Malcolm in the Middle and Breaking Bad.
Bryan Cranston.
Is that his name?
I think it's Cranston or something like that, yeah. But brilliant actors, man. Him and the guy that plays Jesse.
I've always thought he was awesome. Like that guy, even when he's on Malcolm in the Middle, I'm like,
that's he's on Seinfeld. You remember on Seinfeld,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, he was the dentist. What was the dentist's name?
God damn it.
Fuck. There's the parade. He had the parade party at his house.
You gotta Google that shit now because it's gonna drive us crazy, man.
Tim Watley.
Yeah, Tim Watley. There you go. That's what it is.
Just had to Google Seinfeld dentist. Yeah, he's excellent. I've always thought he was an extremely funny actor, and I've never seen him do dramatic, so I'm looking forward to it. But you could tell underneath the comedy that he would still be an excellent dramatic actor because he had serious moments in Malcolm in the Middle. And
oh, really? I didn't really watch Malcolm.
Yeah, fuck you.
Wasn't a big fan of Malcolm in the Middle sitcom.
I watched Saved by the Bell too.
Come on, yeah, Malcolm in the Middle. You must have been like 18 years old, dude.
I know. It's not. It was a fairly funny show at times. It was mostly for him. I watched it honestly.
Really,
Tim Watley.
I've seen pretty well quite a few movies lately. Have you watched any good movies lately? I went to see Harry Potter in the theaters.
I watched select scenes from Revenge of the Nerds tonight.
Nice.
Why? And I asked you this too, and I asked it on Facebook. Why is the Asian dude at the end of that movie wearing an Indian outfit while he hits a gong? He's hitting a gong and he's dressed as an Indian.
He was just drunk and wasted, man.
Was Tonto Asian from? Like the guy that played the cowboy in Lone Ranger, he was Asian, I think, right?
The guy that played the cowboy.
Yeah. No, the guy that played the Indian.
Was he Asian? I don't know. I'm surprised if he wasn't white, man.
He probably was. In a brown face. Well, apparently it's a type of knife.
What's his knives coming up? What is all this shit?
Apparently the knife has surpassed the Indian in fame because I have to add Indian to the name. Oh, it's Tonto with an O. That's why.
How did you spell it?
T-A-N-T-O.
Tanto.
It is a white guy.
It is a white dude. I told you.
What the hell? That's really funny. This is from an article called Native or Not. The true stories we find.
Native or not.
Jay Silverheels, the actor that best remembered as the Lone Ranger sidekick, was born Harold J. Smith of the Six Nations Indian Reserve.
Oh, he was Indian.
And from Ontario, Canada.
Oh, really?
Despite his rather generic birth name.
He looks pretty white, though.
But despite his rather generic birth name, Smith was a full-blooded Mohawk.
There you go.
He's the...
Bravo to that. For using a full-blooded Indian.
Way to go, Harold J. Smith, the Indian.
Oh, wow.
I think his brother's name was Gilbert. Gilbert Smith, that was his brother.
Right. Oh, Jesus. What were we talking about? Movie? Oh, yeah, movies and stuff. Have you seen any? Besides Revenge of the Nerds.
I can't believe we spent that much time on... You tried to talk about movies and I took it there. No, I haven't watched any movies lately.
Went and saw Harry Potter.
Yeah, what'd you think?
As a fan, it was very underwhelming.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, kind of as good as it could have been. You know, it's never going to be as good as the book.
Yeah.
There's going to be shit left out, and
I thought,
you
know,
there's big moments that side characters, they're delivering these huge moments that happened in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came across on screen, it was kind of just like, haha, there you go, done, passed over.
Yeah.
Just certain ways that things came across where, you know, there's this huge epic battle and it just kind of felt really underwhelming, and
wow,
the scope of it didn't really seem as big as it should have been. And but yeah, it was all right. It was still one of the better Harry Potter movies, I thought. Definitely better than part one.
Yeah, I thought, since, because Kelsey told me the last book's the shortest one, right?
I don't know, it could have been the shortest one.
So I thought the fact that they split it up over two movies, they would have really nailed it and not missed a thing.
Yeah, no, they didn't. Spoiler alerts here for anyone that hasn't read the books. I don't know. Do you want to hear this?
Oh, I'm never going to read it.
You don't really give a shit. Well, you know, the whole point is at the end is when, you know, Harry finds out that he is actually one of the Horcruxes and he has to die in order for Voldemort to die. Because he holds a part of his soul.
I knew that like a year ago. So if you're spoiling that for anybody, they are not serious
guys. So. anyway, yeah, Harry dies. And the moment that he comes back to life in the movie is just kind of like boop, and everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, hey, what's up, Harry, how's it going, dude? You know, it just that feeling, you know, obviously that's not what they said or anything, but it was just kind of that feeling that no one was like, because, you know, when he died it was Harry Potter and everyone's sad and shit like that, but kind of pops up after Dumbledore, you know, after he goes into his death trance and Dumbledore comes in and explains everything like he always does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another sign of kind of bad storytelling, but anyway.
I thought Dumbledore was dead.
Oh, he was, but that's where, you know, when Harry died, he went and saw Dumbledore in the afterlife.
Oh, I see.
And was talking to Dumbledore.
Was he gay in the afterlife too? Is there like
dude, hardcore. Was there like a bending Harry over? And
well, but I don't know, but they should have had Dumbledore with two like male slaves on either side. Like that would have been fucking hilarious. I can't believe we're sitting here talking about Harry Potter and you're talking about in detail, and I'm embarrassed because I watched Malcolm in the fucking Middle. That's like.
Ow. And yeah, Harry Potter is a great series of books, man. What can I say?
No, I know. I know they are. I just, whenever somebody says, yeah, you got to get through the first three books to enjoy the rest, I'm like, yeah, you know what?
Oh, man, what? Like, the first three books are some of the good so best
many,
ones.
So many people have told me you have to get through the first two books at least. They're like,
book five, I hated.
Really?
Hated book five.
Hmm.
But anyway, enough about Harry Potter and his gayness. But saw Source Code. I don't know if you know about Source Code, but that was a really good movie, man.
I don't even know anything about that.
Just came out on DVD. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. He's like this army dude that it's kind of really hard to explain. There's this thing called the Source Code where he can relive the previous 8 minutes of somebody's life before it ends. So there's this big explosion on a train, and he relives the previous 8 minutes before the explosion happens.
Okay.
He keeps reliving that until he finds out who bombed the train, who the bomber
That's
is.
That's an awesome
like
concept for a film.
It's really cool, man. You should check it out.
Huh.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really well done.
Why 8 minutes?
Why 8 minutes? They say that's how long the brain lives or can retain or something. It can retain the previous 8 minutes of memory before it happened. That's how they explain it.
So that's even after there's been a horrific train crash and the brain has been burnt to shit and smashed?
Supposedly. No. Yeah, I never really thought about that. They found this candidate, you know, that he was perfect for, so he took the body of a passenger that was on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did he look like him when he took the...
No, he didn't look anything like him. Like, when he looked in the mirror, he was a totally different dude.
Oh, but then you saw... it was like the... like Quantum Leap styles.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, you saw Jake Gyllenhaal. You're the only person that saw Jake Gyllenhaal as the audience.
I love Quantum Leap.
Yeah, Quantum Leap. Oh boy.
What is that?
That's Quantum Leap, dude.
He said, oh boy.
Classic Sam.
Sam.
Yeah.
Was that the main guy or the little dude?
The little dude?
The guy that was like his robot partner.
Robot partner? What the fuck? Have you seen Quantum Leap? Quantum Leap? Yeah.
I don't remember it too clearly, apparently.
Holy shit.
He was like a virtual partner.
Small little robot partner.
His name is RGD2.
Those have seen Quantum Leap, believe, classic show from the 80s. Nothing like that.
And I actually said RTD2, not RTD2. Even
RTD2.
RT.
Man, that was his brother, man.
We're at 40 minutes now. I think we might be done.
You're 40 minutes. Let's wrap this shit up. This has been Stuck in the Middle of Somewhere with Joel Gardner
and Derek Sweet.
You can find us at sitmoss.net or stuckinthemiddlesomewhere.com.
Oh, and one quick announcement. We are going to have an IRC page soon, so we're going to have chats.
Sweet. Yeah, we'll maybe start having some live chats, maybe once every couple of weeks, once a week, that type of thing.
I've already built the interface for it on the website, but then when I started to fit in the header for the IRC header on the top, it was like, it's a little bit more work than I thought, so I got lazy and I didn't finish it. So,
dude, you suck. It'll I was going to say the, you're awesome.
It'll be up by the time this airs. I gotta
say you suck, dude.
All right. Cool.
All right, everybody, we're out of here. Take it easy. We promise not to take such a long break next time, but
it'll be worth it.
Yeah,
for the video episode.
Hopefully you'll like it. Later.